gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
This is BJ, and I would like to welcome you to our show, Just Stuff. This show is about ordinary people just like you, just like me, combining our efforts in a positive way to make our community better, one day at a time, through conversation, encouragement, resources, empowerment, and just plain talk. Remember, you are the best part of this show.
Good morning, radio listeners. Praise God. We thank Him for this awesome, beautiful day that we have not seen before. And this is the day He made before Genesis chapter 1, and we shall rejoice in it. What a joyous day to be alive on today. What an opportunity we have to breathe the breath that God put in our lungs today. And we're going to use that breath to praise Him on today. I'm sitting in this morning for Sister BJ, and I am blessed just to have the opportunity to share the Word of God with all of you this morning. And we're just going to keep Sister BJ lifted up and her family. I'm your guest host, Reverend E. June Addison, and we're going to return back to a previous message from the third Tuesday, and that was, we are in the world, but not of the world. So today is part two of that message, and I pray you have your Bible, pencil, and paper, and we're going to see what the Lord would have us study and learn and live on today. Throughout our church life, you know, we've heard many reasons why we are not to be of the world. Today, we're going to look at three significant reasons and understand why we are not to be of the world. Now, yes, there are many reasons the Bible gives us for not being still in the world that we have come out of, that we have proclaim and profess and confess that when Jesus saved us, when He called us out, that there are many reasons that we are called out. Today we're just going to look at three of them. Amen. So starting today, my brothers and sisters, even those that would be potential Christians for Christ, starting today, I pray that you would make that decisive decision that as a Christian, as us Christians, all of us, we will truly live, hallelujah, live the life that has that Jesus came into the world to give us, to deliver us out of the world. Thank you, Jesus. He delivered us out of the world. And my brothers and sisters, I pray today that your decision be based on the fact that the blood of Jesus is well able, most powerful, eternal and everlasting to keep you out of the world. You know, when you think about this, Jesus, God Himself, is a keeper, and He will keep you from those things He has delivered you out of. Amen. He's a keeper. So it's you're not going to poke a dead man, and I pray God he does not move or rise up, but we are buried dead in Christ. And so we have been truly called out, and I pray today that this is the day you say, Lord, remove from me everything that displeases you. God, take out of me everything, and truly mean it. He will do it, and here's the key. Keep me, God, from evil. in the prayer we're given, God, deliver us from evil. Oh, Father, every day, every day. And that includes not just the devil, but includes our own behaviors. Amen. On last time, we defined the world as the ungodly multitude or people, the whole mass of men, that is men, women, boys, girls, the whole mass of men alienated from God and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. So that word, the world, is whatever is hostile to, toward God, toward the work of Christ. And we're going to open that up a little bit more as we get into the word. And one of the first significant reason we are called out of the world is that we are workers together with him. Him who? Christ. We are workers together with Christ. When we are called out of the works of the world, we are called into the works of Christ Jesus. But Paul says something very interesting. Look at 2 Corinthians 6:1. Then we then, notice how Paul used, and Paul was an intentional writer, and he chose his words carefully. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Paul puts us together. So one of the first reasons we are called out of the world is that we're called to be workers together with Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. You know, God has uniquely and holy and righteously planned and put his church, the one that he purchased through Jesus Christ, put his church in the world. Can you imagine a world without the Holy Spirit, without the church? When we receive salvation by grace of God through his son, Jesus Christ, he puts his work that he needs done in us that we might do it through the church, doing his will and purpose and pointing people to Christ Jesus. Always, we point each other as Christians, encouraging and strengthening, and always giving each other and one another word that will encourage and strengthen us and pointing us to our salvation to in Jesus Christ, but also to the unsaved, pointing them to Jesus to receive that salvation. Amen. So God, he has put the church, he has put you and I saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, called out of the world that we may work together with him, cooperating with the Holy Spirit, cooperating with the will and the word of God, not doing our own thing. And I'm going to be ebonically correct right here, in us, his church. No, God purchased the church. He purchased you and I. He, through his son, Jesus Christ, his shed blood, purchased us and made salvation available to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. So he puts us together to work together. Come on, church. Hallelujah, Jesus. Work together with him, not just in your church or where you worship. I won't say your church, where you worship, where you serve, but together. One body, as we will see later in the message today. One, as the people of God, we are not only called out of the world, but we are called together. We are called together. We are called together. We are believers together in Christ Jesus. Where else in the world can we find what God sent Jesus to do in and through us, for us to love one another, for us to work together in his kingdom for his glory, but the church. And since we are called out together, we work with each other, and all of us work with the Lord Jesus to do God's kingdom work. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, we worship together. Now, think with me, not just in your individual churches, but together. We worship together. We worship. We study scripture together. And we definitely, now we have this next one. We've pretty much mastered this one. We eat together. Remember, in the church in Acts, they had all things in common. So if I need something, if where I serve, we need something, and where you serve, have it, we have it in common, and we're going to share it with one another so that we can work together and continue the work of God. Oh, my Father, don't let that, what I just said, be foreign to you. I know that we've experienced many things, and I'm just talking about our community here in Alexandria, but we know that it exists throughout all communities, even throughout the world, that we can do like the Acts church did. They went from house to house. And I know that not the house to house, but we certainly can have things in common. And we can share with each other. We can bless one another. We can minister to the needs of one another. We give tithes and offering together. We share the gospel together. The world must see this unity in the body of Christ. For, you know, we all have a part to play. This kingdom that we have been called into is eternal. So it's huge. It's beyond the size of it is beyond our comprehension. So we don't need just one here, one there, one here, and we're on islands by ourselves. But we must come together to share this gospel of Jesus Christ to get it throughout the world. Each of us have an assignment, but it's an assignment that work it together with other believers. A need to serve in the kingdom of God. We should not work, you know, do the work of the kingdom alone. But that we come in the fullness of Jesus Christ, his love, putting us together. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, as workers together with him, with Christ, that we should, my brothers and sisters, now more than ever, the church must work together as one body in Christ. The church, you and I, not the building, the church, you and I must work together with Christ. He guides, he leads. It's him in the service. It's for God's glory. We work together. One of the reasons God has called us out, you and I, he's called us out. He has called us out together that we may work together with him, with Christ. Secondly, 2 Corinthians 5:20. These are familiar grounds to us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 tells us we are ambassadors for Christ. Notice the word there. We are ambassadors for Christ. And so an ambassador never presents himself or herself independent of the one that selected them to represent the one that is sending the ambassador or the country that they're going to represent. We are kingdom citizens, citizens of a heavenly kingdom, citizens of God's kingdom. And so God brings us out of the world that we may be ambassadors for Christ, for his kingdom. And so we must never go forth in our own strength, with our own words, with our own agenda, doing what we think is what is the work of the kingdom. Jesus plainly taught and laid out what is the works of the kingdom. Paul, and in his letters, he plainly clarifies what is the work and the will of God. As believers, how we are to conduct, how we are to present, how we are to live as believers in Christ, as ambassadors for Christ. We are one with Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, as it is with Christ. We form one body together, and we form that one body with Christ Jesus. Oh, brothers and sisters, and since we are of the kingdom of God for Christ, we must speak the same thing. We must live and show forth Christ as he has been shown to us through the scriptures. Not who we make him to be, not our interpretation of him, but as ambassadors for him, we must demonstrate through our behavior, through our speech, through our beliefs, through our language, what Christ is sending us out into the world as his ambassadors. Paul, again, in 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, Paul, he beseeches us, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We should all agree on this foundation, Jesus Christ. Paul said, we preach Christ, him crucified. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we can speak the same thing according to the scriptures of God. Paul, this is so powerful. Paul says that we all speak the same thing, that there be no division among us, but that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You know, in this world, we have been in church life. We have been in the church just about all of our days. And so we've come to a place where sometimes we may feel like this scripture that I just read is impossible. Like we cannot possibly be fitted together perfectly. Well, you know, we don't all have the same mind. You know, we don't all think alike. But if we can come to the point of the Word of God, not our interpretation, what we think it ought to be, but what does the Scripture plainly say? Where we can come together and be perfectly joined together, brothers and sisters in Christ. We already know, and we have heard all of our church life, there is no division in heaven. There is no denominations in heaven. There is no you over here and us over there in heaven. We are one, the one church that God will rapture. Oh, my Jesus. And maybe today, maybe soon, that one church, that's not the building, listeners, but it's the people who form that jointly fitted together in Christ, and we have been working in the kingdom of God, doing his will, his way. We must get back now more than ever to the foundation of our belief, to the foundation of Jesus Christ, that we are his body here in the earth. Because we know Ephesians 4. I pray that you will reread these scriptures today and you will reacquaint yourself with the scriptures, not just read them, but say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, help me apply this to my life, that I will not be a hearer only, but that I'll be a great doer of your word. I'll be a great ambassador for, oh my God, hallelujah. I'll be a great ambassador for you, Jesus. When I show up on the scene, when they see me in the grocery store, when they see me driving around town, when they see me in the house of God worshiping and praising and being about our Father's business, they will see me as and see us together as ambassadors for Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writing, I beseech you, here's that word again. Paul says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Where has God put you in the kingdom? Where has he called you to serve? Where has he equipped you to serve? What gifts and calling has he given you to serve him with, to glorify him with? Verse 2 says, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering. Oh, here's that word. Forbearing one another in love, being patient with one another in love, looking and waiting for that day when our sister and brother come into maturity in Christ, being patient with them as they come in as babes and lambs into the congregation. Be patient with them in love. Hallelujah. Even as we have been in church for years or however long we've been, be patient with one another, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3 tells us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. Oh, my Father. Now, that Spirit is capital S Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. Oh, but Paul goes on to make it very plain to us. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You all, that means us, who are saved by Jesus Christ, his salvation. Oh, church, you and I, those who are listening, when are we going to walk, live, love, and learn together as one body in Christ, that life that God's word was sent to us through Jesus Christ and all of his disciples and apostles who walked with Jesus, talked with, as John says, they handled him, touched him, and saw the very glory of God among them. They wrote to us about that. Are you called out of the world? Are you living the life for Christ? Are you, this is inventory time. Are you doing those things? It's not condemnation time. It's not pointing a finger time, but it's inventory. I take inventory of myself. I take inventory of myself before God. As we walk together, brothers and sisters, we walk together with each other, with Christ. And because Christ is in me and in you, we ought to be able to get along. We ought to be able to love one another. I remember a dear sister in her long sleep now. She sent a card to the pastor, and the card read, and this has been several years ago, but that saying has just resonated with me, and it said, "The Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you." How awesome is that? How I pray, I challenge you to tell somebody that this week, hallelujah, even today, the Jesus in me. Now, don't be qualifying the Jesus in you. Don't be saying, oh, yeah, the Jesus in you, really? No, no, not that Jesus. No, no, no. Be pure with it. Have a pure heart behind it. Have a true spirit behind it. Amen. And say, the Jesus in me loves the Jesus in you. And we are together. We have been put together, jointly fitted together for Christ, for as an ambassador for Christ, that we can work together in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. We have a saying at Shiloh that this is to the visitors. This is your Father's house, and you are welcome here. Come whenever you desire to come and worship with us, because this is your Father's house. Hallelujah. So let's pick up that mentality. Let's pick up that attitude. Let's pick up that spirit. This is where we worship our Father, our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. This is where we come to worship together, praise together. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we are called out of the world that we may work together with one another with Christ. We are called out of the world and that we are made ambassadors for Christ. And we must be exemplary ambassadors for Christ. Learn, study Jesus. Learn, study the works of the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, not only are we called together to work together with Christ, not only are we ambassadors for Christ, and this is a big one, the world is enmity with God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The world is enmity with God. In James chapter 4, verse 4, James, he warns the people. He said, adulterers and adulteress, that's men and women, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is enmity of God. How plain, how direct, how sobering is that? James was giving the believers, as he is giving us today, he is giving a warning that friendship with the world is against God. It's against God. That word enmity means animosity, the state of being actively opposed to someone. To have friendship with the world.